Hello, everyone. My name is Mickey Benz, and today I'm going to talk about, you know, the ups and downs and the journey and the process of like art and game art in general. So it's not like it's not much about you know, what kind of brush did you use. It's more like the underlying stuff. So let's jump right in. Some of my works here quickly. I've worked on Love, Death and Robots, which is on Netflix, as a character artist. I painted some textures for these characters on the initial blockouts for them. We worked on with Blur Studios to create this. And also this one here, the big giant bug that almost killed my computer. We couldn't handle all the textures, but I managed to pull through. And these are some recent projects for Riot Games and Axis Animation. For the League of Legends universe, there were some animated shorts that came out not too long ago. I've worked on a bunch of characters here. And I worked on Ori and the Will of the Wisps, which came out not too long ago, which is fucking awesome. You should... Oh, can I swear? not sure. So... these are
whatever you want.
Oh, cool. Okay, nice. Some of the birds here, and some of my personal pieces will be scattered throughout the talk. So, just, you know, jump right in. This is me at a really early age, and that's funny enough because the background drawing is by my sister. But anyway, so. Each artist, when we start out, we just, you know, go to this door and enter the race of art and the path of art. And when you join this path, you soon, very soon realize that there are many people in front of you in this journey, and there are many people behind you on this journey. It doesn't really matter how talented you are or whether talent even exists or not, because even if you are really, really talented, then even then many people will be in front of you on this journey who have experienced much more, went through some of the challenges that you have not faced yet, and they overcome them. And there are some people behind you who are less experienced and haven't seen what you've been through. And for me, what was really interesting to realize that this state, that there are people in front and there are people behind you, is constant. This never changes. No matter how much you work, no matter how far you go, there will be always somebody with more experience and less experience than you. So being really connected and making peace with this state is key. I believe it's really important to have a peace of mind in this journey, because if you think that one day you will reach a point on this journey and then you will just hang back and chill out, that's not going to happen. The feeling that you have right now towards yourself will never change, no matter how much you work. So it's really important to realize that, I think. So once you join this thing, you separate from hobbyists and you become a professional. Because if you do this art as a hobby, you don't really need to improve. You just draw, sit around on your in your room and draw whatever you like. Nobody gives a fuck. You don't need to improve. At all. You just need to have fun. But once it becomes a profession and you need to make this a living, then, you know, you realize that you have to compete with others. And that's when you realize the whole thing I talked about in the beginning, that some people are in front of you and some people behind you. So just filling a void sometimes can be a motivation and source for improvement. That, you know, the artist or me don't feel like we are enough, or that, you know, we deserve love, or we deserve attention, or that we don't have enough money, or, you know, whatever is that missing from our lives. We think that by, you know, improving, by getting further along on this journey, we will be able to fill this gap, this need that we have for, you know, money, fame, success, whatever the source may be. Yes, before I start this video, on this journey, because, you know, you see that the people in front of you have all the stuff that you don't have and you lack, and you really want to get that stuff. So you start to work really hard and you start to connect what they have, you know, with the art that they did. So it's a really curious thing. And for me, like a personal connection with one of my artworks here, I'm going to just quickly start this. For me, this piece for me was about a breakup, you know, and I just went over the whole thing. It's really personal for me, all kinds of hints through my relationship, is hinted here, and it was my own way to, you know, deal with this stuff. But there were no money involved in this project. It was just about filling that void. I felt that something was, you know, trying to come out and something was missing, and I made this video to kind of heal. So when you realize that the people are, you know, some people who are further along the journey have all the things that you feel that you don't have, or you believe that by improving you will eventually get, you will start improving. You will, you know, start motivating yourself that, oh my God, I need to get to that point, towards the hill, or, you know, another 10 miles in front of me, I will be happy there. You know, it's always next 10,000 follower will make me happy. The next $100 per month will make me happy, or the next interview will make me happy. You know, all kinds of source for motivation. So some unhealthy methods for improvement which I encountered and made throughout the years is constant comparison with others, in a not an inspiring way, just, you know, ooh, I want to have what they have, and then you just compare yourself all the time to that artist or what they have, or how bad this artist is and how much more they earn and stuff like that. It's just, I don't believe that it does any good. I think it should be, you know, ignored and used in an inspiring way instead. And of course, overworking is huge for me, at least. Sometimes, you know, if you're a motivated person and you can get stuff done, you will just run forever, and you will run until you run out of battery. And then you realize that you are made out of human, and then eventually your body will break down, or, you know, you will start issues. You will have issues with your back, or maybe with your forearm. All kinds of pain can emerge from your body telling you that, hey, you're working too much. So yeah, that's not good. Don't do that. Self-punishment is also something that I, you know, encountered a lot. Like when I was working, sometimes I got this kind of distracting voices chatter in my head, which was like, you know, you will never be as good as X artist. How shitty is this painting? You've been in this industry for 10 years and you can only make this painting after so many hours of working and improving. This is just, useless. It's not good enough, and all kinds of negative stuff. You know, just they start coming up, and they come up so much and so frequently that it's kind of motivating, because you want to get rid of that voice, and you want to prove you to yourself that you are that good, that you can get rid of this. And this is again kind of connecting back to that, to accepting the state of art, you know, your own self during this journey, which is constant. This will never change. No matter how many followers or likes somebody gets, this is the, those are, or money or fame or whatever, those are just patches on the wound, you know. Those are only temporary solutions. So yeah, and I wanna, now that we talked about the unhealthy methods, I wanna talk about some healthy things which I discovered. So finding fun exercises is key, I believe, just like when working out, like in real life, like push-ups or, you know, running or whatever. You have many tools, many workouts, many different exercises that you can do. You can do bench presses, you can do push-ups, you can do squats, all kind of different exercises that you can do, which is really important, because if you one day you go running, then the next day you won't run you know, that far, because you will have pain in your whole body. So you will need to do something else on the second day. And why it's important for art, I believe, is that we don't really see the art muscle, because it's not on my shoulders or whatever, it's not visible. But I do really, really do believe that this muscle can be just as run down and tired as my biceps, or, you know, whatever, my necks or legs. We just don't see it. So what I really believe that it's important to have, like drawing and sculpting, painting, and all kinds of different fun exercises that you really enjoy to do. And if you have 10 of those, then guess what? You can pick one that you know, that you feel like most doing. And that way, you know, you really don't have to fight resistance, and you don't have to fight anything at all, because you have 10 exercises, one of them will call to you on each given day, and you will just do that, and there is no force and there is no need to, you know, struggle. So that's really important, I believe, to have those. And focus while working is really important, I believe, like being mindful, like don't have the chatter in my own head is really important. It can be negative and it can be positive. Like if I paint something that I start to like, and I'm like, ooh, this kind of start looking good, then it can, you know, quickly turn into like, oh my God, this is, I'm going to be the president tomorrow, because it's just the best painting ever. It's, you know, it's, everybody will like this. There's no point in making art after this one. This is fucking awesome. But that voice can be just as damaging, whatever, like the negative ones. So if I'm not present in the brush strokes, and I'm, you know, listening to music, and distract myself with videos, then my productivity will fall off dramatically. I am the same person with the same skills, but if I distract myself and discard my attention to 15 different directions, I will be a worse artist just by, you know, distracting myself. So discovering new mediums constantly ties back to finding fun exercises. So discovering new mediums is really fucking important, because what I believe is the key here is having a professional like velocity and perseverance, but a hobby like fun and engagement. And if you can combine those two together in a sustainable way, then you're golden. It's fucking awesome. So discovering new mediums really helps keeping the hobby aspect of art, because if you grab watercolor, which you haven't used before, then you will, your mind will enter into discovery mode again. You will be able to make new connections that you haven't done before, because you enter into a new territory, which you don't really understand. So you need to have those discovery skills. You will bring them up. What's happening if I do the brush stroke like this and do it like this? Then maybe that discovery-like mindset will bleed over to your main discipline. So I think it's really important, and also it ties back to finding fun exercises. So the more mediums you try, the more exercises you will have that you will find fun. And yeah, developing good habits is essential. Like, be humble about it. I can only give you like a nice challenge here for the next month. Each day, get up and one point during the day, just leave one brush stroke onto the paper. And this is a humble thing. If you can start with one brush stroke and you can keep that up for 1 month, then you can say that, okay, you have that habit, and you can expand on it. Next time you will, for the next month, you can draw through two brush strokes. And that way, you know, maybe you will eventually get to a habit that each day you will draw something each morning, which is, I think, it's fucking awesome. But it's important to be humble about habits, because someone can say that, oh, I'm going to do a 3D art every day for fucking 10 years. And that's just what I'm doing now. And then you sit down and on the third day, you're like, okay, I'm quitting. So be humble about it. This is, I'm talking for experience. I fucked this up many times and I'm running out of time, but whatever, I will just quickly rush through. So teaching is really important, because it will help you crystallize what you learned and give them to somebody else, which is a fucking awesome experience in and of itself. Like, you know, seeing somebody reaching their dream jobs because you helped them. Is this still working, by the way? Am I live?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, cool. Okay, awesome. I was just, you know, distracted by the silence. So, yeah, teaching. And if you see somebody, you know, grow up and reach their dream job because you help them in a small way, it's just a fucking awesome feeling, and it will help you a lot. So yeah, this is why I made this character texturing series, which you can find on YouTube. It's like Fallout 2 game art tutorial or something like that. And I walk you through the hand painting process. So yeah, this is really important here, I believe. Not sure if you see my mouse or not, but you know, I have from during the journey in art, I feel like we enter different dimensions and different art styles. And from each of these art styles, I kind of took something with me. So from the world of circles on the left, I took a half circle with me. From the world of boxes, I took a little box, and from the triangles, a little triangle, and you know, all sorts of stuff merges into one unique workflow, which is me at the moment. And throughout the journey, my art journey and your art journey, probably, you encounter all sorts of techniques, artists, tutorials, points of views, philosophies, and all of these. You can pick some stuff that you like and resonate with you and connect them into your own rule set, which will then result in a unique and fun, workflow. So this is the way, I believe, finding the way you like to create art is really, really important, because if you don't do art in a way that you like, then your whole journey will be pointless. 99.9% of the time you create. So if you don't like creating, then it's fucking useless. It's pointless doing this. So for me, the main priority became nowadays to find a workflow and a way of creating art, which I enjoy a lot. Of course, there will be hard days and easy days, but, you know, just keeping it balanced. And that way, improvement is a byproduct of enjoyment and engagement. And so the more mindful and more unique and more personalized and more aligned you are with your own workflow, the more engaging and enjoyful joyful it will be. And of course, honest and fun workflow equals engaging and unique style, so which is my belief. So all of these come together in a big pot, and then comes out that has never been done before in a unique way. Yeah. So I think it's important. And as the artist changes, the workflow should change as well. So it's like an electron. The artist always changes places all the time. You change, you go through breakups, you leave jobs, or, you know, you do something too much and you get fucking bored of it. So you change all the time. So the self-reflection is not like I did it when I was 10 years old and now I don't have to do it anymore because I did it once. No, it should be a regular thing, checking in with yourself, like, hey, am I still loving this sculpting thing? And if the answer is no, then, you know, maybe change it up a little. And this here is my own like mixture of stuff, like the unique thing I talked about. My own journey came together with this game that I made called Captain Calculator, which is a mobile game, and it's like you solve math problems in your head like really quickly. And, you know, I didn't know programming at all and stuff like that. I didn't do any art style on my own, but I really wanted to make this game. And, you know, just the passion for the project pushed me through all kinds of hardships and you know, blocks that I would otherwise have. So this is the game, but it's not really about the game. It's more about the all sorts of stuff coming together in a new way. So like my love for drawing with ink onto paper, my love for programming, my love for 3D and, you know, silly storyline or whatever. They all combined and this came to be, I mean, the previous one, the Captain Calculator, which was really engaging, really fun to do. And it's, you know, it was fucking awesome to make. So yeah, this is the last slide here. This is an unpublished project of mine. I finished it today. There are some bugs in it, so sorry. But the story behind it, I'm going to quickly share because I ran out of time. Is last summer, I fucking broke as an artist. I was like sitting right here on this in this place, and I was painting one after the other, like some portraits. And I felt like I fucking hate being here. I don't want to do art anymore at all. And the voice that was like, you know, the self-punishing voice that I already talked to you about, like, you fucking suck, this fucking sucks, you don't, it's not enough. Yeah, you know, it's all kind of crazy voices and chatter were too overwhelming. And I didn't deal with this inside me ever since I started doing art, and it haunted me forever. And it was unbearable at that point. And I was like, okay, I'm not doing art anymore at all if it comes with this voice. So I got up from the computer and I left for the whole summer. I didn't do any works, didn't do anything for the whole summer. And I was like, if I want to come back and if I feel like painting again, I will come back and paint again. But if not, I'm going to be a bouncer like I was before, or a security guard, more accurately. But luckily, the pen called once again in last September. I painted a few portraits. I rearranged some stuff, some personal psychological stuff. Like, I took a break, went through my own motivation and my own source of fuel, which pushes me through art. And so, yeah, this is the thing I finished. Today, there are some bugs here, but, you know, whatever, I will fix them. Don't worry, should be published in a day or two. So really quickly, the takeaway is like, I'm going to do it in 1 minute, I swear. So constantly reflect on your connection with art, what you want to gain in 10 years and why, how it feels during the creative process and why. It's really important to reflect on what you feel during when you make the art, because 99% of the time you make the art, and if you don't enjoy the process, you won't enjoy your fucking life. So you need to clean this up. It's really fucking important, believe me. I've been torturing myself for too long. This should be avoided. So look inside and check your motivation. Do you want money? Do you want fame? What do you want and why do you want them? And art is a tool for it, or is art your enjoyment, or what's the relationship here? Discover new mediums and disciplines. Always refresh the hobby aspect of art and the childlike discovery. Yeah, it's pretty much self-explanatory. Really connect with the fun. Connect with the fun, because if you let go of the fun, you will burn out, your main source of income will suffer, and young, eager, full of fire, young, upcoming artist will demolish you, because they enjoy it, they go after it, and they have the energy. So reconnect with the hobby aspect and fucking start discovering again, because it's really important. Develop healthy habits for improvement, prioritizing fun and engagement over final outcome. It's funny how I can't read, but whatever. So, yeah, I think it's key to do this. But it's, you know, just basically the previous points all again. So, yeah, I hope I didn't miss anything, and I hope somebody will be able to hear the voice to slow down and find the fun when it comes unbearable, even if it's in a job that you fucking don't like, in a game art industry that you don't like. Have the courage to leave, or, you know, connect with the love again, because doing art is, you know, it's really a blessing if you can make a living from it. So it shouldn't be a torture or a bad thing. It can be, a fire can be reignited, and, you know, it can be really fun if that's your focus. So that's it. These are the things that you can, find me at. This is the thing I made for today. Because I promised Abandon that I'm gonna do one exclusively for the presentation. So this is it, and I hope you enjoyed.
Hey guys, a quick word from our sponsors for this episode.
GainsBoost 42.
You guys, building an app and trying to get it to launch off in the mobile market is one of the hardest things to do. I should know. I used to work at a mobile company. A lot of it has to do with getting people to try your game more so than how great your game is. But if your game is already great, why not partner up with someone as great with the marketing and everything else that comes with making a successful app?
GamesBoost 42.
Who will help you increase your revenue and make it grow faster without any investors or publishers. Get access to your App Store revenues today and keep 100% control of your company and products. Also, they will fill your marketing for the smallest percentage rate on the market, starting at 2.2%. With crystal clear paperwork that has no hidden costs, what you see is what you get. They are the official partners of 5 top-notch mobile agencies to provide a full range of marketing service for those of you who want to just sit back and see your user acquisition grow. So do yourself a favor. Don't wait any longer.
Go to GamesBoost42.com.
The link is, as always, available in the description of this podcast. Now back to our episode.
Did I finish in time?
Yeah. You finish whenever you want to finish because you're that awesome, man. And I want to thank you for sharing your story and being with us today for GDux to kind of be very honest. I think burnout is something that every artist, especially someone as seasoned as you, we go through. Everybody can definitely empathize with. Even with the surprising thing, at least on a personal level for me, is that I always attributed burnout to games I hated or studios I hated. But it actually found me in different parts of my career, even on projects I really initially loved doing. I was just tired of it. And a lot of it had to do with understanding balancing other parts, which you really illustrated here.
Yeah. Even the projects that people love can be, you know, can lead to burnout. But I'm not sure exactly if it was a burnout, but of course it was, you know, combined together. But for me, I felt like it was based more in a psychological issue, like my connection and my relationship with art and my fuel, because my fuel for the longest time was I'm not enough. And by doing a lot of good and impressive things, people will think that I'm enough, resulting in me believing that I'm enough. But it doesn't really work that way. You don't need other people's approval at all to feel complete and whole in art or in personal life for that matter. So yeah, and that combined together with the burnout, like the artistic thing. Yeah.
I just want to remind everybody, while I am going to ask you a lot of my own questions, that this is a perfect time for all you guys to kind of chime in here and have an opportunity to talk to Mickey through me, not directly, to ask your own questions. But selfishly, I'll go ahead and kick this off to kind of talk to more about you. I mean, with someone with your measure of work, your quality of work and your uniqueness of work, like it is disheartening to kind of hear that you hit a wall sometimes where you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. And it's very relatable too, because a lot of people, I feel, and I think this is very unique, not unique with game developers, but I think the issue is if making game isn't fun, there's so many other things that us artists can do in other industries and get paid a lot more for. Right? If we're not doing it for the fun of making games or an experience, we rather do something else and basically be a robot. And it's just very I think once you lose that passion, and I always caution myself from using the P word in the game industry, because people, when they say passion, they're trying to make you work more. So, but in the true essence of what the word passion is about, I really do feel when a game developer just doesn't have the will to kind of care about the product anymore or what they're doing, that it's very hard to kind of reinvigorate and just find a reason anymore.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I've been to those places where I didn't really connect with what I was working with at all. Which is crucial, I believe, to the enjoyment of life in general, and in bringing out the best that we can, that we have in ourselves. If we don't have that in engagement, that kind of orgasmic connection with the thing that we are working with, then it's not going to be fun. It's going to be soulless and not enjoyable for anyone who, you know, eventually ends up using or seeing the artwork. And I think it's, you know, it's not the biggest deal if it's a soulless, shitty game. But I feel like, you know, there's more to life than just doing soulless things. So why not do something that's fucking connected with who we are or who you are as an artist? So yeah, this is definitely something that needs to be emphasized a lot. And you know, sometimes I feel like these kind of obstacles cannot be prevented from happening. Everybody needs to go there. Everybody needs to experience that shitty job. Hopefully, when they are there and they remember some kind of talk or tutorial where they talked about not doing a shitty job, they will act 3 months before than they otherwise would have. But I don't think the experience can be saved in most cases. So yeah, it's part of the journey.
I feel, and I might thank you for sharing your journey. As we are here to talk about it, and a lot of what your talk was composed of is highlighting the alternatives that you found to kind of help balance your life a bit, to have some time away basically from the computer.
Yes.
So this is something, and you actually have a very interesting background. You were talking about you were used to be a security guard, in which seems to me to be a very opposite of sitting in the chair and working on things. If anything, you're outside,
yeah,
somewhat interacting with people. Where exactly did you feel that you got kind of sucked into this trap of working hard? And just concentrating all your effort into the craft. How long did it take for you to kind of snap out of that routine?
That's a really good question. I started with game art when I was 11 and years old. So I think around when I was 18, maybe, I decided that I'm gonna be the fucking best ever. But that's not really how it works. And you just start, and that's when the fire kind of started. It's like it's a two-sided blade. It has an upside and a downside. That, you know, I work a lot. I know I just fucking go after it and do, which is good. But of course, I cannot turn it off, which is not good. But for me, I believe it came from my father, who said, resonated that either you do something that's best in the world, or you, it's, what's the point on doing otherwise? So it's either the best or fucking quit. These are the two options, which is, I think, of course, it's a good advice and a bad advice. So it's like a double-edged sword, or because this helped me, like, you know, really fucking, no other options here. I'm just going to do this work, even if it breaks me. I don't give a fuck. I'm just going to go and do it. But I cannot turn it off. So it's a good thing to have, but I didn't see the dark side of it. And for me, this last summer helped a lot. I went worked with mental health issue people. I don't know how to say it. BC, you know, for like a week. And, you know, I was volunteering there, and it's a really, really, really humbling experience. And, you know, you just fucking rearrange your whole spectrum of what's important and what's not important. And how you see life in general and how art relates into the whole thing. So that was a really key factor for me to get a grasp of the shadow side of my motivation to, you know, being the best. So yeah, that was really important.
Mm-hmm. A lot of what you're saying, I don't know if you ever seen the movie with Will Ferrell called Talladega Nights, but there's a character on there whose dad gave him it's a comedy, right? I'm not trying to make light of it, but his dad gave him a very similar advice where it kind of haunt him throughout his adult life, which is if you're not first, you're last. So he had like this ego that he built, and basically had a sore loser mentality where he wasn't sharing the spotlight with anybody and became very selfish. So what you just said kind of resonated. It's very true. I mean, at first advice sounds great because, you know, you want to be great. There's a selfish mentality that you have to aspire to. But in the end, this is a very collaborative type of industry. And if you think like that, it gets lonely, right? It gets really lonely to be competitive all the time. And so
with yourself.
Exactly. Even with yourself, your past work, because you're never going to be satisfied, which is very dangerous. It's like, I can do it better.
Yeah.
Or you get tired really quick because your goal is a never ending goal.
Yes, exactly. That's the trap.
It's a trap.
It's
go ahead.
Sorry. It's exactly that. It's just a trap. Like not being aware that it's a journey, that it's not most of the things that you feel during creating an art will never change. It's it's really, really, really interesting. Like, okay, now I feel little, I'm gonna do a big artwork so people will like that artwork and I won't feel little. And then 1 week passes, nobody talks about the artwork anymore that I made, and now I'm feeling little again. What should be the answer? I'm going to make a bigger, even bigger art so people will like it even more. And after 1.5 week, you feel small again. So it's like there is no, this fucking, if that's the reason behind creating art, then it's not good. So for me, I really needed to change fuel. But of course, I'm saying this stuff that it sounds like these were my only motivations, but no, of course, I'm just emphasizing the bad side here because I believe that was the theme of the talk. So I had many good moments and good motivations. I'm just trying to emphasize what I fucked up and what I improved.
Yeah, it's a real issue. It's definitely, I mean, the only thing that I feel bad about is that, you know, you seek to help. It sounds like you're doing much better. But then we got into this whole quarantine where you're stuck at home again. How are you coping with this? How is it over in Hungary? Are you guys as strict? Because we just had some presenters from Denmark, and they were back in the office doing just fine. Is this, what's the situation over there in Hungary?
Yeah, it's getting loose. Everybody's getting back to offices like in 1 week or something. And I already met with some people. Don't tell with anyone. we're kind of back in business. Like government regulations are basically non-existent at this point now. I mean, you have to wear a mask inside like grocery stores and stuff like that, but other than that, kind of life is back to the way it was before, or slowly, you know. It's just like a new advancement in like a week or two. But like, I don't know, three or four months ago, or I mean three or four weeks ago, it was dead silent. Nobody went anywhere. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was for me, it was pretty crucial to have it.
I'm glad that you guys are getting to a place where at least the public is going back to normal. It sounds like, you know, at least in Europe, you guys are a little bit ahead of us. Although we are opening up shops, at least in America, we're kind of going through another crazy time on top of the pandemic with the rioting and looting over here. I mean, we're not a political show, and I'm not at all knowledgeable enough to speak on this. But having so many things happen consequently after each other, it can...
Yeah.
It's scary, upsetting, and daunting at the same time.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know how to say this, but, you know, best of luck or something like that. It's really like a challenging time for everyone. And I really hope that you will, find the solutions over there also, and kind of chill out a little bit after with these riots and everything. It's really, how do you say it? Alerting maybe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you, Mickey, for coming on to GDEX and sharing your story and sharing your great art. I'm always a fan. I've said this once before, like your work is one of those types that stands out from ArtStation, which is a huge, huge undertaking because there's new artwork uploaded every single second on ArtStation, great art. But you found a style, you found a way to express yourself that is completely unique. And I, for one, am a huge fan and hope to kind of keep seeing a moderately healthy dosage of new work. I'd much rather see videos of you playing out in the field and relaxing, because I want you to, well, like you kind of mentioned, it's a marathon, not a race. So.
Yeah, exactly. Luckily, I kind of rearranged my connection with all this. So even though the pace of the artworks probably won't slow down, but my relationship with how they are made changed completely. So I'm zen as fuck, one might say.
It's fantastic, man. It's a huge inspiration for us all to get zen and awesome. I'm glad of anything on that side that you're gonna be able to see the sun, and it sounds like you're already feeling safe enough to kind of interact with people, and it gives us on this other side of the ocean a lot of hope and something to look forward to as we're going through trying times on top of the pandemic.
Are you still in lockdown?
Yeah, I mean, we're technically still on lockdown. So, I mean, I live in California, so on the West Coast, and we were basically starting to open up shops again. And over here, at least, you know, a lot of people were maybe strict the first month, where the traffics and people on the outside was taking it seriously. But like soon after the first month, people already got bored and tired, and in large groups were outside and ignoring things. So the sentiment over here, we're getting to a point where people were seeing the numbers kind of fall down because of the social distancing, but they were just tired of being in the house. But then this whole situation happened. It kind of brought on a whole different aspect of this 2020. So as you can imagine, everyone's not really social distancing anymore. They're out there in huge groups protesting, which we highly encourage. Yeah. Of course, everybody wants, if anything, GDux is built on providing a voice for game dev specifically. So in that aspect, I totally understand that there's a group of people that have been just not having that platform to be treated equally or fairly, right? So I empathize with everyone that's protesting and doing what they need to do to change. But yeah, this year sucks. This year really sucks.
Yeah, it was a hard start. But, you know, I want to thank you, man, because it's a really cool setup that you have here. And I think you're doing a lot of fucking great things for, you know, game artists and who, you know, listen to the show and listen to your other, you know, YouTube videos and also on Discord. So, yeah, thanks, man, for doing this. And I think, you know, times might be really bad, but probably the timing for this can, you know, it's good. I mean, like in-house presentations and everything, it's the perfect time for it. So, yeah, thank you. I'm guessing the other tracks will be available later on, I guess, online.
Yes, exactly. So after I go through, we have about one more day of live presentation, but all the videos will be cut up and given out to anyone that didn't catch the live recording. So thank you for your kind words.
You're awesome, man.
Maybe next time. I know I'm stuck in a motel room right now.
Looks awesome.
Next time I'll be at a higher class hotel, you know, be drinking wine instead of some cheap tea, trying to stay awake. But I want to thank you.
And I will have the room next to you.
Of course, I'll open up this wall over here. people have been commenting on my phone being too big, but the reality is, like, it's just camera perspective, man. So look, it's
perspective.
Yeah, see, it's the right size, guys. Come on, I'm an environment artist. Give me some credibility. It's closer to the camera. That's why it's bigger, okay? So
they envy the size.
Yeah, they never know which one's real. Look at this. This one's the real one. That's how integrated I am. Nice. Real too. Oh my god. It's always funny.
Next level.
But I want it next level, yeah. Unreal 5 powered right here. No, not exactly. But Mickey, yeah, I'm going to throw it back to you. And maybe this is a great opportunity to kind of tell people out there. We do have Mickey I'll invite you to the Discord channel. So if you have any follow-up questions, he'll be maybe spending some time over there. But where else can they find you? Just as a reminder, if they want to connect with you.
It's on ArtStation, it's Mickey Benz, and on Instagram it's Mickey.Benz, because somebody took my name. It happens all the time, you know. And on YouTube also you can find many free tutorials that I made It's Mickey Benz also. I have a whole series on texturing a character and a car, like this one here, which is like a sped up version of painting a whole car and stuff like that. And it's all free. Well, that's it basically, if you want to hang out there.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you are liking the podcast, go to the Apple iTunes store and give Game Dev Unchained a 5-star rating. This will help spread the joy and love and exposure for the podcast, and we thank you very much. If you want to continue the conversation, go to our Discord, which can be found on our website, www.gamedevunchained.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at BlueChamps, BlueChamps. You want to catch these episodes live every Tuesdays and Thursdays, go to twitch.tv/blue_champs. Email me any of your concerns or questions that you want me to read aloud at the beginning of each episode at info@gamedevunchained.com. And if you want to further support us and help unlock the next feature, which is the voicemail feature, go to patreon.com/BlueChamps. This gives listeners a chance to kind of call in, leave a message for both me and the guests to answer your deepest, darkest questions and comment on your deepest, darkest secrets. Thank you, everybody.